Welcome to another City Coast Church podcast. For more information, please visit our website at www.citycoastchurch.com.au.
Why don't we be upstanding? Because we have Pastor Adam bringing the word to us this morning.
Thanks, Jono.
No worries.
Fantastic. Look at all your beautiful faces. You guys can grab a seat. Incredible. Two services. How exciting. Yeah? More opportunities to bring your friends, your neighbours, your work colleagues, those people you don't like, bring them along. Why not? Let's get everybody in this place and experience what we get to experience Sunday in and Sunday out. Because what I'm discovering is as we present ourselves with humble hearts and willing hands, God is showing up and God is using us. He's encountering and engaging with us and moving us forward into the plans and purposes He has for our world. And it's incredible seeing our kids team growing, our youth team growing, the creative team continually expanding, our host team. There's more new smiley faces out there all the time. So there's so many ways that you can be involved in the expansion of what we're doing here to reach Bundaberg in the surrounding season. So be a part of it. Bring that humble heart, those surrendered hands, and I guarantee you, God is going to use you in a big way. Look, I have a really uplifting sermon for you this morning. I want to talk about trials. Yeah, you know, we all face trials and we've probably all navigated some real nasty trials. I mean, I personally, I've seen loved ones pass away. I've had my heart broken once or twice. I've navigated workplace tensions. I've had to work my way and navigate through financial stresses. I had to battle early onset baldness and I lost. We all face trials, but I've found in my latter years that one of the greatest trials I ever faced was trying to make a child or teenager do what I asked. Whether it's cleaning their bedroom, getting dressed for school, washing the dishes, putting the toothpaste back in the drawer instead of leaving it with the lid open with the toothpaste smeared across the bench saying you don't have enough time to put it away because you spent 35 minutes chasing Pokemon on your phone. That seems strangely specific, didn't it? When it comes to facing trials, getting a child to do what you ask is one of the trickiest. And I have to admit, as a child, I was not an exception to this. I remember there was a time my mum, as she left the house, I was a young teenager, she asked me to put the washing machine on for her. I said, no worries, mum. But because she didn't specify, she also wanted clothes in it and laundry powder, I just put the washing machine through an empty load. As a young boy, Mum asked me to pick my Lego up off the bedroom floor and I figured it'd be quicker just to vacuum it up and pick it out of the vacuum cleaner at the end. Turns out the vacuum cleaner didn't agree with that plan. But probably one of the biggest challenges my mum had when it came to me was getting me to eat my vegetables. I don't know if you're a parent and you've experienced this, but I had all sorts of ways of getting around eating my vegetables. I was putting peas in the pockets of my pajamas. Can anyone tell me why pajamas have pockets? They like take some spare change to bed with you in case you, I'm not sure. I'd put peas in my pockets. I'd stuff my cheeks with broccoli like I was some kind of chipmunk and then excuse myself to go to the toilet where I'd discard it. I'd try to feed cabbage to my dog. All sorts of things to get away with eating vegetables until my mum had a great idea. My mum turned to the seven seas. She sought help from one that had conquered raging oceans, a sailor who was strong to the finish because he ate spinach. That's right, I'm talking about Popeye the Sailor Man. My mum, in a stroke of genius, introduced me to this cartoon of a sailor who had an almighty ability to fight. And this ability could only be obtained by him devouring a can of spinach. And my eyes were opened. I needed to eat my greens. If I ever wanted to be like Popeye, if I wanted to be a squinty, bald man with an underbite and bulbous forearms, I had to eat my vegetables. So the vegetables were the key. I especially needed to eat my greens, and they soon became a part of my diet. So today, for my message, like my mum, I'm turning to those that have navigated stormy seas. I'm turning to the nautical masters found within the scriptures to take a few valuable keys that we can apply to our life to help us navigate the stormy seas of life. My message today is called Wind, Waves and Jagged Rocks, Lightning Strikes and Soggy Socks. Yeah. Some of the challenges that we might come across and face in our life. So to turn to the scriptures, you find stories. You had a large amount of stories about the rural life, about raising farms and stock. You had stories about navigating kingdoms, but you also had a lot of stories about nautical life, about fishermen, about sailors. There's a lot of them throughout the scriptures, and I think by looking at a few of those, we can take some keys to help us navigate some of the trials that might arise as we sail this ship called life. And the first of those that I want to look at, while not the most successful of these nautical masters, we can take a lesson from him, and I want to look at Jonah. One of the things we can learn from Jonah is obedience. You see, this lesson comes from a man who made mistakes, a man who met disaster on the high seas. He lost cargo, the ship was breaking up, and eventually he wound up overboard. And I hear you, why are we learning to navigate stormy seas from a dude who failed catastrophically? And that's a fair question, but I have heard it say there's two ways to learn. You can learn from mistakes, or you can learn from a mentor who learned from his mistakes. And I'll guarantee you that the latter is a lot less painful. So I guarantee you today, when we learn from someone else's mistakes, it can be just as vivid as if we'd gone through the mistake ourselves. So we're going to look at Jonah. Is that okay? In the first chapter of Jonah, we see God coming to Jonah and asking him to go to a city called Nineveh. And God tells him, these people are wicked. They're no good. They're worshipping idols. They're living debaucherous lifestyles. They're kicking puppies. They're just not very nice people generally all round. And it turns out that Jonah agrees with God. The fact that God has asked him to go and be amongst these wicked, horrible people doesn't sit well with Jonah. So Jonah does what some of us might do when we face a situation like this. He turned and he ran. Now, I'm no genius, but when I am trying to run and hide from God, the last thing I'm going to do is jump on a ship and set sail on an ocean that God himself spoke into existence. It's not a very good hiding spot. If you want to make it safely through your voyage in life, make sure you board a ship that's heading in the direction God wants you to go. Because when you face rough waters, you want to make sure that God's breath is in the sails and God's hand is at the helm. But Jonah, he's got a different strategy. He's got a different plan. And he heads off towards a place called Tarshish. When you're navigating storms, you want to make sure that you're going in the same direction God wants you to go. And in the wise words of Garth Brooks, not a prophet, country western singer, there's bound to be rough waters, and I know I'll take some falls, but with the good Lord as my captain, I can make them through them all. I really should have sung that, but I'm not going to. So anyway, Jonah runs. He sets sail for Tarshish. Nineveh is in the west. Jonah takes off to the east. And as he's on this boat, he finds himself being tossed about by a tempest. The waves, the wind, the rain, they buffet this boat and it begins to break up. And Jonah finds himself in the storm of his life and he knows it's the result of decisions that he made. So who of us have been in that situation? We find ourselves in a storm and it's very hard to ignore the fact that our decisions probably found us there in the midst of it. So Jonah confesses to his crewmates what he has done and they listen to him carefully and compassionately and with grace. That's not true. They pick him up and they throw him overboard and into the sea. I tell you what, this is how they're thinking. If God is ticked off with you, last thing I want is for you to be in the immediate presence of me. So we're going to deal with you this way. So God sends a great fish to swallow Jonah. 3 days, 3 nights. And as far as rubbish situations go, this one's pretty much near the top of the heap. And it's here in this place, in the lowest of lows, that Jonah has a revelation. I might have messed up here. It's possible I've made a wrong decision. And he prays this prayer in Jonah 2, verses 7 to 9. He says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you and into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay what I have vowed because salvation is in the Lord." He has made a wrong decision. He has now found himself in a storm, but he finds himself in a place where he can humbly acknowledge the error of his ways and identify with clarity that his salvation, his hope, and his answer out of this storm is to cry out to the Lord. And that's what he does. If you're in obedience with God here this morning, stay the course. But if you have found yourself on a ship heading the other direction from what God wants from you, it's not too late. This is a prayer that you can pray yourself. I've made a mistake. Get me back on track, Lord. Let me pay you what I have vowed to pay you. Let me lay down my life as I once promised and get yourself back on that right boat. So that's the first key that we need to apply to help us navigate the stormy seas of life. We've got to be obedient. When God is asking you to jump, I encourage you to jump. When he's sending you this way, don't go that way. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. And whether you think you're capable or not, when you do it in partnership with God, you can see success in what he's asked you to put your hand to. So be obedient. The second person I want to look at is Paul. Again, not exactly the smoothest sailing, but there is a lesson we can take from his story. And the lesson we can learn from Paul is lightening the load. You see, while the stories of Paul on the open sea often wind up in disaster, there is a tactic we saw his crew employ, and that was discarding heavy things and items off the boat to lighten the ship. They set sail at a bad time of year. Paul told them not to. And a furious wind called Euroclydon stirred up. I tell you now, if you're giving a name to a wind, it's generally a bad one. Tracy, Yassi, yeah, not nice winds. You want to avoid them. So Euroclydon rocks up and the wind starts wreaking havoc on the ship. They're getting thrown to and fro. And Paul has this great idea that is going to help them out. They're facing the terror of their life and Paul goes, "I know what could help them." He stands up and he reminds them that he told them not to sail. He basically stands up and says, "I told you so," just to make them feel better. So he tells them, "You should have listened to me," became a really popular guy, and they began to throw the excess weight into the sea. You see, anything that's unnecessary on the ship was discarded because it was a weight that wasn't required to get through this storm. But it's this concept of lightening the load that I want to have a look at. When storms arrive, when you've taken a wrong turn, you're now being beaten by the waves, you don't want to be weighed down by unnecessary burdens. A ship which is heavy laden runs the risk of being swamped by waves and overcome. And like this, when we face these tempests in life while carrying worries, offense, shame, and failures from our past, it's very hard to stay afloat, to keep your head above water. When we face trouble enough. We will face trouble enough tomorrow without hanging on to the troubles from yesterday. Let me say that again. We will face trouble enough from tomorrow without hanging on to the troubles from yesterday. I love there's a verse in Matthew where Jesus says something along these lines. Shortly after he says, seek first the kingdom of God, pursue me, don't worry about all these other things. He says this, therefore don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It says, this isn't going to be the last thing you face in life, so don't worry about hanging on to this one. You need your hands free to deal with the next one that comes along. Does that make sense? I had the privilege of speaking at the women's meeting through the week. It was a great privilege to be there. And we discussed offense and the likes of these things that might be a weight or a burden that we carry around. And we agreed that there were people that had hurt us. There were people that had betrayed us. There were people that had let them down. There were people that had broken their trust. And the names of those people are as following. No, I'm joking. We didn't discuss names. But we all face these things and we all have these scars and these hurts. But we learned that through compassion and forgiveness and unconditional love, three keys that Jesus himself demonstrated vividly, we can overcome offense and we can lighten our load. Compassion helps us see that the ones hurting us are potentially in hurt themselves. We saw forgiveness frees us from the chains of offense. And unconditional love helps us see those who hurt us through the eyes of Jesus, who while we were still sinners, still loved us enough to go to the cross and die. There are three principles that we can take from Jesus' example to help us lighten the load and remove those burdens of the things that we carry. We wouldn't be no better off by hanging on to the things that hurt us and battered us yesterday. So take those things today, the worry, the anxiety, the fear, the hurt, the shame, resentment and offense. All of these things that will weigh you down in the storm and leave it with Jesus today. Jesus tells us in his word, bring your burdens to me and I'll exchange it for the burden I have. Because your burden is heavy, but my burden is light. Leave those things that are weighing you down and seeing you swamped by the waves at my feet and take what I have to offer you. What I have to offer you is so much greater than what you're trying to accomplish on your own. Leave your burdens. Leave your offense. Find forgiveness. Step into compassion. Exemplify unconditional love, and you're going to find yourself released and freed of some of those weights that hold us down and keep us going under the waves. So that's the second one. Lighten your loads. Don't hang on to these things any longer. They've been a strain, a pain, a hassle. They've been restrictive. They've been holding you back. It's time to let them go this morning and lighten your load. You with me this morning? All right. Let's look at the disciples. A number of the disciples were fishermen before Jesus found them. They were quite experienced on the open seas, on the oceans. They knew a thing or two about boats. They spent a lot of their life on their boats. Yet there are still moments in their time following Jesus where their confidence in their nautical abilities seemed to wane. If you turn to Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 26. Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, speaking about Jesus. And suddenly a great tempest, a lot of tempests, arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves. But he, Jesus, was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? When he arose, he rebuked the wind and the seas, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and sea obey him? The lesson we can learn from the disciples when navigating the stormy seas of life is know who you're sailing with. know who's in your boat. You see, when your ship hits troubled waters, remember who is on that voyage with you. In the verses leading up to this passage, we see Jesus performing all sorts of miracles. He heals the centurion's servant. He brings sight to the blind. He heals a leper. He heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law who was on her deathbed, whether he wanted that or not. Jesus was performing amazing miracles. I'm joking. I love my mother-in-law. She is one of the most incredible people on the planet. But leading up to this situation, the disciples witnessed Jesus performing miraculous and impossible feats and miracles. Yet once they've faced this storm, a few verses later, they are fearful and they are terrified. You've seen who it is that's in the boat with you. You've seen what the person in the boat with you is capable of, and now you're fearful and terrified again? Despite knowing the Son of God was on their ship, he who had just performed these incredible things, they now call to him, and Jesus refers to them as men of little faith. Now, I don't think this is because they asked Jesus for help. I think it's because of the fear that Jesus saw in their heart. Because I assure you now that if you find yourself with soggy socks in a storm of life, Jesus wants you to come to him. He wants you to reach for him for help, but come to him with faith and full assurance that he can deliver you, not with fear that the circumstances are larger than him. Come to him with full faith, knowing that he is able and willing to rescue you, not that the thing that you're facing might be too big for him. Focus on the greatness of God that holds you in his hand rather than the problems that are trying to swamp you. In Matthew 14, we see the story of Jesus walking on the water to his disciples, and Peter sees him and he says, "Hey, Jesus, if that is you, call me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says this, Matthew 14, 29 to 30. He said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked on water. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and he began to sink and he cried out, "Lord, save me." When Peter's eyes went from Jesus to the water began to win. When the waves became a focus over faith, he began to sink. When our eyes go from the deliverer to our fear, from our savior to our addiction, from our hope to our hardship, we give it the opportunity to swallow us. You see, this whole message I've been talking about navigating the stormy seas of life, not avoiding them altogether. Because unfortunately, the storms are going to come. You're going to face these things that come against you. And I hate to be the bearer of this bad news, but these trials we face in this earthbound life, the key to navigating them successfully is keeping our eyes on Jesus. You will get to the other side. There is a saying, when you're going through hell, the worst thing to do is stop. If you find yourself in the midst of hell, for heaven's sake, don't stop. Keep moving and get to the other side. That's what Jesus is about. We're going to face storms. We're going to have hardships. We're going to face trials. But I guarantee you, when you do that with Jesus by your side, you have an advantage that many others don't have. You have a God that will never leave you nor forsake you. A spirit that's not one of fear, but of love, power, and soundness of mind. You have a God that knows every detail about you. In Psalm 107, 23 to 29, it says this, "Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and the wonders in the deep, for he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens and they go down to the depths. Their soul melts because of the trouble." A melting soul is a bad thing. "And they reel to and fro. They stagger about like a drunken man. and they are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that the waters and waves are still. When they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, know who is in the ship with you. Know who you're sailing with. Know that Jesus is there for you. Jesus is there to help you navigate through this stormy seas, to help you avoid the wind, the waves, the jagged rocks, the lightning strikes and soggy socks. He wants to help you get through that. He wants to see you reach the fullness of the plans and the purposes that he has for your life. And I tell you now, they are for good and they are for your prosperity. They are for your blessings. That is what God wants to see in your life. You see, the answer today to navigating storms successfully is Jesus. Simple as that. It's Jesus. When you're sitting in your storm-battered boat and you're saying, I've tried everything, can I encourage you today? Try Jesus. Cry out to the man who calmed the storm and made the waves still. So he may calm your storm and he may still winds, or he may not. But whatever he does, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will make sure and see that you navigate it successfully and safely to the other side. He is in it with you. And when you ask Jesus into your boat, when you ask him to help you navigate this life, he comes in with that Holy Spirit companion to be the counselor, the comforter, the helper, to be there no matter what storms you face. When those waves are breaking whitecaps and the wind has got your sails tattered, you need to be ensured that you have a navigator on board that's going to ensure you navigate these storms safely. I just invite the creative team up, and I want to give you an opportunity this morning. If you're navigating these storms solo, I want to encourage you this morning to invite Jesus aboard your ship. Regardless of how well your plan has been outlaid and how much time you've spent on the seas, no matter how well you think you've got this ship figured out, can I encourage you, without Jesus at the helm, a storm is at great risk of overturning your vessel. Invite Jesus into your life this morning. And each step you take, each thought you have, each word you speak is gonna be overseen by a loving Father God that's going to go with you. So, Father God, I just encourage you to close your eyes and just bow your heads this morning. I just want to create a moment of privacy, and I want to approach you with this question. If you think you've tried everything, have you tried Jesus? Would you like to invite Jesus aboard your ship this morning and help you navigate these stormy seas of life? Are you tired trying to keep the ship steady on your own? Are you weary and tired from rigging the sails without any help? So while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, if you would like to invite Jesus into your life this morning and say, Jesus, I need you. I need you to help me navigate these storms. Just raise your hand in the air this morning, and I'd love to pray with you. I won't be calling you to the front, but I just want to know who I'm praying with this morning. I see that hand up the back there. Two hands over to the side there as well. I see that hand as well. Five. There's another decision there. Six decisions this morning. Say, Jesus, come into my world. Thank you, Jesus. Church, can I have you say this prayer with me? Those that raise your hands, say this with everything that is in your heart this morning. Lord Jesus, I know that I've been a sinner. I know that I've fallen short. Forgive me of my sins and make me new. You are the Lord of my life. Come aboard my ship and help me sail this vessel. Today, I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together and celebrate those decisions this morning. It says all of heaven rejoices when even one that was lost comes home. And this morning we saw six incredible individuals find their way back into God's embrace. That's a party for sure. Hey, if you have made that decision, there's a couple of things I want to encourage you to do. Firstly, if you want to visit the hub after the service, that's that little space over your left-hand shoulder. There's some incredible team there that would love to give you a Bible and just answer any questions you might have about this decision you've made to come to faith. Pastor John, Pastor Charmaine will probably be hanging around that area as well. You can hit them up about what your next step would be in this journey as well. The next one is keep coming to church. Along with Jesus being a companion on this voyage, there is an incredible family here in this house that want to navigate that journey with you. You got some incredible brothers, sisters, a couple of weird uncles, but we're all there to support you. We're all there to encourage you as you walk this life, as you navigate these stormy seas. We're there to cheer you on. We're there to help you as you navigate anything that comes your way. Celebrate with you when you have a victory. Lift you up if you stumble or fall. And the last one, get connected. Find yourself in a connect group, a serve team. Find yourself in a place where you're doing life with somebody. You're being involved in what's happening in the church. And I guarantee you it'll change your world. In order to do that, you can scan the QR code. You might see them on the back of the chairs there. You can scan them with your phone and it'll take you through to a link tree, which will give you any number of options. Hey, Margie. Sorry, it's my friend. Anyway, what was I saying? Connect, 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 connect. You want to be a part of what's happening here in this house. Like I said at the start, humble hearts and willing hands, and God's going to use you in an incredible way, I assure you. So scan, get involved, find a place to be a part of this house, and that'll help you along the way with this journey that you're navigating. Sound good? Hey, why don't we jump to our feet? We're going to go out with a song of praise. Are we singing the new one or the other? Yes. Yes.